Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Hypothetically, Raven, if you walked into a room of 1,000 single women your age.
Oh my gosh. What am I doing here?
How many of them would be attracted to you?
I don't know, but my wife is not going to be pleased.
Okay. Give me a guess on how many you think would look at you and be like, oh, look at that.
Come on. Mm-hmm. Today, now, this outfit? How about 5 years ago?
No. How about right now, today, your age, you walk into that room, 1,000 single women.
You know what? All right. There's no other parameters. I don't get to talk.
No.
I don't get to say hello.
Don't
introduce
open
myself.
Your mouth. People that are just attracted to you by your looks.
Oh, no. I'm starting to feel bad about myself.
Why? Raven, answer the question.
All right. I mean, it's a cop out, but I'm going to say, you know what? I'm still going to give myself a little bit of credit here. I'm going to give myself like a average credit score, 656.
You think out of 1,000 women, over 60% of people in that room would be like, that guy's hot.
Yep. Hot is a different word.
I thought you said attractive. Attracted to you.
I mean, again, I don't know.
I'm not asking you to lower it. I'm asking you what you genuinely think.
This feels like the most pressure I've been under probably in the last 10 years. I don't know what's happening.
I have no idea
why.
Am I
blushing?
You're sweating. Doesn't even make sense.
No, that's different. That's cardiological.
Okay. Well, here's the thing. They did this study. Mm-hmm. They asked straight men online. They said, if you walked into a room with 1,000 single women, how many of them do you think would actually be attracted to you? And almost half of those men, 42%, said probably between 1 and 25 of the women. That is 0.1% to 2.5% that thought there would be so few women that would think they're attractive. And that is sad.
Yeah, I was going to say, I feel bad for those guys.
Yes.
Like, get your confidence up. What is happening here? You are watching the wrong television shows, reading the wrong books or whatever. Like, you need to fire yourself up and get back out there. This coming from a guy who's given up. But
but also thinks 62% of the women would think he's attractive.
It feels pretty good about my chances.
Exactly. You're like, I mean, you know what? I've given up and I haven't done a single thing for my health in years, but I walk in there and 65 of those women are still going to be into me.
It just tells me that. I mean, like, the mindset is so powerful here, mm-hmm. right? Does it give any other numbers or examples that people thought that they would do better?
Yeah. So
am I the only person who thinks that 60% of people would want to talk to me?
So less than 10% would say more than 50%.
Wow.
Yeah, you're really in the minority here. Most people don't feel comfortable with their looks and think that people would automatically be attracted to them. And this goes back to what I was saying, Raven. It's really hard for women to find men because this is the mindset that a lot of them have.
Yeah.
So I have a lot of single friends now that are divorced, going through breakups, and, you know, they're late 30s, early 40s. And it's a tough place for them to be because they don't know where to go to meet men. And then when they do put themselves out there, they feel like no one talks to them. You know, and this might be why.
Am I alone, though? I think that there's so much more to being attractive, obviously, than just what you're looking at. That's why I asked, can you talk to people? But I still think that even if you can't, people can kind of see confidence in people, right? Mm-hmm. Stand up straight, boys. All right? Get some confidence.
1,000 women. Raven said 656 would definitely be into him.
Minimum.
If you had to not complain 30 days, would you be able to do it successfully? That's the big question. I'm doing it. I'm doing it and I'm killing it, Raven.
Yeah, you know what? I mean, I think that when you think of life, right, you say to yourself, 30 days is nothing. It's a blink of the eye. But when you're trying to impose a behavioral change and you're doing that day to day, it's really, really tough. And I have to tell you, I've noticed.
Yeah. No, here's the thing. This past Monday was Blue Monday, and Blue Monday is considered the most depressing day of the year. There's a lot of factors that researchers have found. It's colder in a lot of places. The days are the shortest day of
the year.
Less
sun, right.
And then all the money, you don't have any money left over from the holidays.
People are breaking up.
Yeah, it's like all the bad things.
You're never going to get in shape.
So this isn't a new thing, though, because they've been saying that this past the third Monday of January is Blue Monday for 20 years. But about 7 years ago, there was a woman from Belgium. Mm-hmm. Her name is Isabel Ganesisenin.
Okay.
Ganesisen.
Yeah.
And
they always have like four syllables.
Yeah, there's a lot of like the things over there. Anyway. Yeah,
lots of S's.
So, yeah. She said, well, what if on Blue Monday, mm-hmm. instead of just accepting that we have to be depressed in January because it's like the longest month of the year, why don't we start a positivity campaign where you don't complain for 30 days? And she explains why.
I think we live in really good circumstances, and then even people are complaining about the weather, about the traffic, about... And that's a pity because it sets your minds up for negativity.
It's true.
It's her one interview of her life, and her phone goes ahead and beeps in the background right while she's doing it.
But she continues, though, Raven,
yeah?
And it makes a lot of sense.
Okay.
It was really a struggle to learn how to be in a healthy way, positive. And I think it's like train your muscles. If you really say, okay, now I'm thinking something negative. Stop, I don't want to do this. Let me rephrase it and think something positive. It's you train your brain, and then after a while, it goes much easier. And it's really the point of not getting stuck or sucked by the negativity.
Stuck or sucked by the negativity. Mm. Even though it sounds silly when she said it, I thought about it and it resonated a lot with me.
Well, you know, I mean, listen, learned behavior is a definite human thing, right? Like, we can all train ourselves on learned behavior. Those Belgianese, real smart.
Well, it's true. And, you know, I started this on Monday because, you know, I didn't like make an announcement or anything. I'm making an announcement now. But yeah. Like, I was like, I could do this. You always go on the negative, like, oh, my gosh, my kids have so many activities today. I'm going to spend the whole day in the car.
It's Monday.
Right. And I just started to rephrase it. I said, OK, I'm going to have all this time today in the car. What can I get done when I'm in the car? And little things like that mm-hmm. made a difference. Like last night, I finally sat down. It was the first time I sat down. And I was like, okay, I still have to get up and pack all the lunches and make dinner. And I go, no, the sooner I get up and yeah. start doing all these things, the sooner I can go to bed and maybe watch a show that I want to watch tonight. And it's making a difference.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can really follow through on it, but I'm really trying.
I mean, 30 days. I just wonder what February 20th is going to be like.
Well,
it's going to be a terrible, terrible time. Or maybe you'll continue to practice Belgianism mm-hmm. for the rest of time.
I might be Belgium now.
You might be.
Yeah, maybe.
You might be part.
Let's connect again. The Anna and Raven Show.
Let's connect again. So last year, we launched an initiative. It's so easy. It doesn't cost you a single penny. Call old family members and friends that you haven't talked to in a long time. And it seemed easy enough. Hmm. We were like, we'll do it. So we started doing it, and we reached out to old high school friends we haven't talked to in a long time.
Yeah, like, you know, like so many things that are effective in your life, like the answer is obvious. Right? The information is really common sense. It's a simple message, but doing the act can be a little bit more challenging, right? Like a lot of times it's just easier not to talk to people you haven't talked to in a long time. Let me text. Let me do something on Facebook. I'll thumbs up their photo, and then they'll know I'm still here.
Right, but there's been extensive studies and research that found that if you actually reach out to somebody, mm-hmm. talk to them like old school, pick up a phone.
Makes a big difference.
Woo! It makes a huge difference, not only in your health benefits, but in your mental health benefits, too. So Mel Robbins is this famous podcaster. My friends and I are obsessed with her, right?
You are talking my ear off about her.
Well, like, because she's a thing.
All the time.
She has the let them theory. That she's certainly a thing. And I have requested her come on our show a bazillion times.
She just continues to ignore you.
Not even like a no thank you, just no response at all, but that's all right.
I mean, that doesn't seem like it fits in with her mantras, but okay.
Self-help. Anyway,
anyways,
she was on her podcast the other day and she said this.
So there's this 86-year-long study that was done at Harvard University. And one of the things that this research tells us is that when it comes to living a deeply meaningful life, it's not money or fame or accomplishments that is going to make your life truly happy and fulfilling. The number one thing is the quality of your relationships. You need to make time for your friends.
And it's true, like, because you're so busy in your life. And I think especially a lot of women that are in the position where I am, where we're busy with the kids, we're running around from one thing to the next. You don't make time. You don't make time for yourself. And another thing she said in another podcast that was really smart was schedule your fun. schedule your fun. Make time for fun. Mm-hmm. And she continues.
So today, make the call. Send the text. Time with friends matters. And if you want it, you can be the one to plan it.
That's right.
I hate to be devil's advocate here, but maybe she could return a couple more phone calls if she spoke a little bit faster.
Right. Maybe she could call me. She's
She's drawing it out. Yeah. You know what I mean? She's got that. It's great speaking technique, but I mean.
Practice what you preach. Just give me a call. You got my cell.
She's
please.
Busy.
I know she is.
When you appear as a guru, everybody wants your help, right? Like everybody needs help.
But just a reminder today, if there's somebody you haven't talked to in a long time, an old friend, an old family member that. Pick up the phone and call them. We've been practicing what we preach, and it's been so fulfilling. And we've been hearing your stories, too, through email and call-ins. And it's been amazing. Let this be the year that you do it. What's a job that a teenager should not have? You can call or text 1-800-330-9999. There's a list of the most popular jobs for teenagers.
Okay.
Now, Raven, two out of the three sound pretty good and normal. Third one, to me, questionable for sure.
A little bit out of character for it.
Yeah. What was your very first job, Raven?
I was a dishwasher at a Chinese restaurant.
Okay.
And it was absolutely horrific. But man, they had the best teriyaki strips. And when that place closed down decades later, I cried.
Okay.
The food was so good there.
Much like you, I worked in the restaurants. Like my dad has restaurants, so I worked there. But I also worked at a Baskin Robbins scooping ice cream. And that's the number one job for teenagers, food preparation and serving. So working in restaurants,
they're always
sense.
Hiring. It's high turnover, right? The jobs are available. It's close by. Sure.
Number three on the list is working in retail stores. And that's also a great job for a teenager. Stocking the shelves, you know, learning how to do the register. Sure.
Learning how to deal with people at both these jobs. That's the big experience that you're going to take away from that. I did retail too.
Yeah.
And that's tough.
Yep. My daughter is going to be 16 years old soon. She just got her very first job a few months ago. Okay. And she works in one of those birthday places for little kids. So her job is to serve cake and make sure the kids don't kill each other in the ball pit.
Sing happy birthday.
Right. And she's very good at it. And she really enjoys it. She likes playing with all the kids. But I asked her about what was number two on this list.
Hayden, do you think that babysitting is a good job for a teenager?
Yeah.
But think about not you as a babysitter, but some of your friends that maybe haven't grown up watching their baby sister their whole lives. Do you think they would be trusted with young children?
Maybe not. There are some people who I think probably shouldn't be trusted with children.
If you think about it, there is a vast difference between some teenagers with young children others. Like Hayden.
I mean, there's a vast difference with adults.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Some people just don't want to deal with children.
So I see these posts all the time, like on Facebook, like teenagers that want to babysit. And you have to meet them because, like my daughter, for example, I have a younger daughter who's 10 years younger than her. She grew up taking care of her little sister. You can leave Hayden with any young child and she's fine.
She's experienced.
But her friends, there's no way I would leave them.
I mean, what makes it a good job? I think that for most people, when you're looking for employment, what makes it a good job is it's available. So you'll say, of course I can do that. Right? Of course I'm qualified to do that.
But there's some jobs that are just not for teens.
What's another job that you think that teenagers really shouldn't have?
I don't think teenagers should be lifeguards.
Why so many teenagers are lifeguards?
Because you're trusting a teenager with your life. You're trusting a teenager with save me if I drown or save my children if they drown. Do you really want to trust a teenager with that?
I want to trust a 26-year-old person. I feel like that's the perfect age for lifeguards.
That has a degree, right, or something? I don't
Somebody
know.
Somebody that knows the importance that's not on TikTok and not on their phones the whole time.
That's controversial. I don't know.
That's what I think. They could go up to age 43. Between the ages of 26 and 43 is who I want saving my life. I love also like a Navy SEAL.
I just want the person who took a CPR class like last week. That's what I want.
I want to be able to, you could carry
unless
me.
Unless they were a Navy SEAL. So if they're Navy SEAL, they could be younger or older. How many 18-year-old Navy SEALs do you think
they
are?
No, they're cool. If you're like 22 and you're a Navy SEAL, you could definitely save me if I'm drowning.
Perfect.
Top three jobs for teenagers. Food preparation and serving. So working in a restaurant. Yep. Mm. Second is working in retail. Sure, working at the stores. Number two on the list is babysitting. And I'm not 100% sure every teen is cut out to be a babysitter.
Not every grown person is, right? And even amongst good parenting, there's all sorts of different styles.
So what do you think is a job that a teenager should not get? Tim?
Bar back. Working in a bar at all as a teenager is a terrible idea.
Yeah, it's like going to juvie. Just going to teach you.
Are they allowed?
Yeah. I mean, well, restaurant bars. Yeah. Yeah. The rule on that is kind of blurry. So
15, 16 years old, you should not be behind a bar with the other people that can be on the other side of the bar.
Well, that's the thing, because people are in there and they're drinking. And so they're not behaving themselves either.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Unless you're the one that has to keep refilling the ice, then after a while, you just decide you never want to drink again because you're tired of all this nonsense and you see all the debauchery that's going on.
I mean, there is some truth to that. But again, weighing the temptation versus that. I'm with you. I certainly wouldn't want my teenager to be in that situation.
Yeah.
And I'd feel weird. If I was in the bar that was employing a teenager to run, I'd have to go to another bar. I can't be my true bar self in front of this teenager. I don't know if that makes me a good person or a degenerate, but either way, I have to get out of there.
Talia, how about you? What's a job a teenager shouldn't have?
I don't think teenagers should be allowed to work at the zoo.
Why?
I mean, somebody has to get eaten by the tiger.
Like, it's one thing if they're working, you know, at the food court at the zoo, but if a teenager has anything to do with keeping me away from a wild animal, I don't think that that is safe for anyone.
Talia, why are you going in after the wild animals? What are you doing?
Right. Well, how about you just stay behind the fence?
I'm not the one going in after the wild animals, but, like, you know, the teenagers have to make sure that the zoo animals are happy. I mean, yeah, I guess, of course, like, the tigers are behind glass. We probably don't have to worry about that. But some of these animals, you know, there's just, like, a little bit, like, you know, the monkeys. Take the monkeys, for example. There's just a little bit of, like, a cage between them. And if the monkeys are pissed off, they could totally get through the cage if they wanted to. And I just don't trust teenagers to be taking care of that.
I feel like there's probably rules at zoos about how old a child has to be before they just put them in with the monkeys.
Yeah. Put them in the monkey pit. First day? Yeah. Oh, great. Get in there. See whether or not they make it.
Bring this banana to this monkey.
I don't know. Somebody's got to serve the Dippin' Dots at the zoo anyway. So there's plenty of jobs there, I guess.
Peter, what's a job a teenager shouldn't have?
You know, I brought my dog to a dog daycare, and he's supposed to be watching like 25 dogs. And the kid was maybe 16, 17 years old. He didn't seem to have a very good control over the pack of dogs, and they were just going crazy. So I was a little bit nervous leaving my dog with them.
That's a good one.
Dogs can get out of hand. On the other hand, they look a lot like that when they're just having fun. I don't know if I could leave my guy there. On the other hand, you can't be the helicopter dog parent.
That's what I said.
Even an adult, 20 dogs, one person, not really safe.
What do they do when if the pets get out of hand? Like, it's just them. Who are they going to call for help?
That's what I said. I said, well, what do you do if things get out of hand? He said, oh, that doesn't happen. Then right as he says that, you know, two dogs just start going crazy. I was just like, oh, my God, what are we doing here?
Well, maybe this kid's like the dog whisperer, right? He's a prodigy, fifth generation, and they all know how to speak to animals. Could be that, too.
I would trust a teenager to come let my dog out, feed my dog at my home if I was gone for a day or something along that lines. But to drop off your animal when there's several other animals and it's just a child, I agree with you. That's not a job for a teenager.
No, all seriousness, right. I wouldn't have done it. No, you're coming with me, Barkley. You're staying with Dad.
Anna and Raven's Pick'em News.
Three news stories. You only hear about one. Raven picks which one it is. Today's selection. Ready? Number one. Woman handcuffs son to oil tank as punishment for eating too many hot dogs.
I'm not somebody that works with social services, but I'm just going to say that that's bad. All bad sounds like to me.
Agreed. Number two, teen enraged by TikTok ban sets fire to congressman's office.
I mean, should have just taken a deep breath and waited 12 hours.
Correct. And number three, two arrested for impersonating firefighters in Palisades fire evacuation zone.
This is disgusting. I'll have to select that based on merit.
This story is baffling to me.
It's so crazy, right? When you hear things like this.
Yeah, two people were arrested for allegedly impersonating firefighters inside of the Palisades fire zone over the weekend. They even had a fire truck.
What?
Yeah, here's one of the police chiefs talking about it.
This individual have purchased the vehicle through an auction. The individual had turnout gears and radios on them as if they were firemen.
You know, listen, I know it's a big deal when these disasters happen, looting, people coming in and robbing from these areas, right? And what better way to do it if you had a disguise as a firefighter? You hear about people doing that, but You got a fire truck?
Raven, they bought a fire truck at an auction.
That seems pretty elaborate, right? Like, what is your intent? What are you doing there?
You know, I think it's a couple that did this.
And that's what even
crazier. And it's even weirder.
Like, one individual can be that insane, right? But two people getting together and both being that insane.
I want to think that they thought they were doing what was best, even though every sane person in America knows that that's clearly was not what happened here.
I'm a nut job, okay? And some people would say is that my wife can be a little bit, you know, volatile, all right, in situations, but we're there to check each other, all right? When one of us goes to do something crazy like this, you go, wait a minute, no, stop the music. We're not going to do that.
We're not going to buy a fire truck.
Right. So, I mean, gosh, why does that not happen?
I don't know. But here's what I was thinking, Raven. Mm. Besides all that, the fact that they impersonated firefighter, I would think, is one of the most difficult careers to try to impersonate, because you have to actually know what you're doing to fight a fire.
I mean, somewhat, right? Yeah. Like, you have to show up and you have to have the look. You have to have the equipment, right? There's a lot of parts to this.
So I Googled what profession would be easiest for someone to fake it, like as catch me if you can style,
right?
Yeah,
what'd you come up with?
The top three that were easily to impersonate careers.
It's amazing that there's a list everywhere for everything.
Yep. Elementary school teacher.
Okay. That's scary, but yes, I get it. You go in and you just talk in a soft voice, you know, and respect kids' space, and then you're fine.
Number two, I would say substitute. But anyway, let's move on.
We're right.
Number two, psychiatrist. You can sit there and listen. You just write some notes.
And how did that make you feel?
Tell me about your mom.
And do you...
How's your dad?
Was that a wise way to handle that?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Maybe next time let's try counting to 10. Okay.
Number three is a manager, but it just said manager. So if somebody
asks. Of anything. Yeah,
right.
Nuclear power plant, you know, Hojo's, could be anything, right?
Manager. I was trying to think, like, what is the job that I could fake? I could just do it. Mm-hmm. What would it be for you, Raven?
I'm going to be a detective. I watch a lot of true crime television. Mm-hmm. I don't need to actually go out and solve the case, but I can talk to people like I'm a detective. Mm-hmm. Like, I've got this, like, I can put on this face where I just dismiss everything that you say.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just in my face, right? And a detective, that's one of the biggest things. They just sit in a room and then they dismiss everything that you say with their face. And then they go, you're lying.
Okay.
Tell us what happened. We know you did it.
I could have 100% be a politician.
Well, yes.
I have so many blazers and suits to wear. And I have so many silk button-down blouses. Right. Like, when I see all those politicians dressed, I'm like, I look like just like them. And when I hear them speak the word salad.
Oh, you could do better.
I go, it's literally what I do for a living.
All
word
day.
Salad.
Guess what? We're going to do it again tomorrow, too. You might as well get paid for it.
Yep.
Yeah.
You got to protect your eggs. That's what you have to do. Egg prices keep going up, and they're going to continue going up, and it's all because of the bird flu, for real. There's a sign up in my grocery store right now, and it says, egg price update. Mm-hmm. Egg supplies have been affected because of the continuing bird flu outbreaks. This has led to cost increase from our suppliers. We apologize for the inconvenience.
It's scary. It's sad. But here's the thing. If you got eggs in your house, you got to make sure that you're getting the most of them, which means no cracked succus.
And that's why we decided to do the egg drop experiment. You may remember this from when you were in school. It's when you would kind of build a trap to keep your eggs and then drop it from a high height and make sure they don't bust.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the science lady talking about it.
The egg drop challenge involves a raw egg and household materials. Your child's task is to create a device that will protect the egg from cracking when it's dropped from a tall height.
But we're all adults.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're doing that right now.
Yeah.
And it's crucial.
All right. So Raven, producer Julie, producer Justin, she continues. How do you make these contraptions?
Some objects you could use to protect your eggs are tissue boxes, paper, tape, straws, and plastic cups.
Julie, what did you use to make your contraption?
I used an Amazon box with some spray foam and wrapping paper, like the tissue wrap stuff. And I cut a little hole out for the egg so it has a nice little bed in the spray foam.
Oh.
Here's the thing. Her box is sealed, so we have no idea till it opens up whether it's made it through the experiment or not. Mm-hmm. So, Julie, would you like to go ahead and climb the ladder?
Now, here I go.
Here in the studio, we have a 6-foot ladder.
Yeah.
And we're all going to take turns climbing to the top and dropping our contraptions off to see which egg will survive.
To be fair, let's make sure that we drop it from the height from the top of the ladder, please.
I feel
Thank
like,
you.
Don't they kids usually do this from like the roof or upstairs window?
Well, I don't know. We don't have access to the roof, so we're just going to do it this way. All right. Are you? No.
Higher.
Right
higher.
There. No, for the top of the ladder.
Okay. Yeah, right there.
Right there. Right. There you go.
Drop That's... it. Woo!
Oh, I don't have high hopes.
I heard a crack.
Yeah. Now, here's the thing is we also should reveal that two of us have not brought actual eggs, so we're looking to recycle eggs.
Okay, let me, you know, I just want to point.
Yes!
The egg has stayed intact.
I can't believe it. It made it.
Oh, nice
job,
Julie.
All right, that's my egg for the second round.
Yeah, Raven and producer Justin didn't actually bring eggs because, as usual, boys don't pay attention in meetings.
We thought they were going to bring the eggs. Mm. We thought there was a purchase of eggs
why?
Going on.
Because we're girls. That's why.
All right. Yeah. Anna, get up there.
Okay.
Let's go. Let's see what you got.
I used one of the Danimals pouch, like the boxes that the yogurt pouches come in.
Yeah.
I used tape to seal up all the holes to make sure no air would get in there. And then.
Air.
I didn't want any air to get in the holes.
Yeah. Good
so
idea.
So I sealed it up with tape. And then I filled it with popcorn. So there's popcorn in
that
there.
Is a good idea,
yeah.
though.
Let's see.
That's why I smell it, too. I smell the popcorn.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
I didn't think the spray foam was going to work, but the popcorn smells good.
All right,
here we go. Here we go. Drop it.
Oh,
I don't know.
I can't
the popcorn
tell.
Was a good idea, though.
That popcorn was coming out of that box, I think.
Don't rip popcorn. It so bad. What are you going to do? You're going to shake it up.
Did it break?
We forgot to get the tarp.
All right.
So did the egg survive before you shook out the popcorn?
I don't know.
All right. Results of that coming up in a minute. And the second round of the egg drop happening next.
The egg drop challenge involves a raw egg and household materials. Your child's task is to create a device that will protect the egg from cracking when it's dropped from a tall height.
Except we're grown-ups that are going to do the egg drop experiment.
I mean, we've already really begun at this point. Julie, commendations on you. Great job there with the spray foam. I was surprised. I thought that, that stiffens up, Anna. I didn't think it was going to work very well, but it did.
It held true in second grade. It still holds true.
Congratulations, producer Julie. You've done a fantastic job.
It was 10 minutes ago for her.
Egg prices have been rising all over the country because of the bird flu. So we want to protect your eggs. Mm-hmm. Old school style. The egg drop experiment. Mine broke because I was aggressively shaking, trying to get the popcorn out, which was stupid.
Why were you doing that? You had an egg in a box, padded by popcorn. I think you made the drop successful, but then when you open it up to prove it with the egg, why get so excited?
I was overly excited. Okay. What did you make? What's yours?
All right. This is following up on the concept of an inner and an outer core here, Anna. So I have an inner core where the egg is actually sealed in between two cups with Kirkland Signature toilet paper. And then it is inside another plastic tube here going to the top. You're shaking your head, Justin, producer Justin. I mean, this is how they would do things if they wanted it to be in space.
Space.
With toilet paper?
Yes.
Yeah. Kirkland.
Well, not with toilet paper.
Kirkland toilet paper.
Well, if they were going to use toilet paper, Kirkland's a good choice.
Costco one. All right, go drop it.
Are we ready to figure out
go
whether or not it
drop,
works?
Go drop it. Right. Listen, here's a tip. Don't shake it when you're done. also, we were supposed to put down a tarp, but we don't know where the tarps are, so we didn't, and now there's a problem. All right, ready?
Here he goes.
Ooh. Oh, it opened! The toilet paper fell out!
Oh, no.
How does toilet paper fall out of a sealed container?
How does that work? I have good feelings.
Hold on.
You better not have cracked that egg. It's our only egg left. Did it survive? Let me see the toilet paper.
It looks
paper?
Secure.
I need scissors.
All right, open it with scissors. Be careful. Don't get too excited like I did.
Stand over a countertop.
Here we go. Big reveal.
Big reveal. I'm ready for it.
There's nothing oozing.
Oh!
Oh,
yeah.
Look at this guy.
Pass the egg, please.
All right.
Now, drop it.
Justin, tell us about your contraption.
Okay, so I also have an inner and outer mode going on here. I have a small tissue box that I have loaded up with some packing material, the mesh kind of
the brown mesh, yeah.
Brown mesh material.
Would you like some Kirkland toilet paper?
I put a small Ziploc bag around my egg so that even in the event of a breakage, it's not going to leak all over the floor.
That was smart. Why didn't everybody think of that?
Around the outside of my tissue box, I have six inflated balloon.
So it reminds me of the JPL landing of the Mars rover, where it rolls down the side of a mountainside after being dropped from a spaceship.
Off the air, Julie said, looks like the coronavirus.
Yeah. No, the Ebola
like a model.
Virus.
Right.
I didn't know the viruses had different things. That's how you know she just went to college.
How can I rewrap all this toilet paper, by the way? I don't want to be wasteful. All right, Justin, are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, drop it. Drop the balloon contraption.
Oh, it kind of floated.
Oh, it bounced.
Oh.
It bounced.
Oh, it did.
It bounced.
It floated a little.
That was really cool.
All right, big reveal. Inside.
Ooh, I don't know.
Nice and easy.
Slow.
Ooh!
It made it! Yay! Amazing.
Wow.
Congratulations, Justin. Mine was the only one that broke, and it's because I got too aggressive, which kind of makes sense.
No eggs for you.
No eggs. What is a smash taco burger and how do you make it? Chef Plum. You can find him online at chefplum.com. Host of Plum Love Foods. Plum, what is this and how are we making it and why are we making it?
I love how when you say these things, it's as if like you found a treasure and like you're not really sure how to open it up or look at it. You're like, what is this magical thing?
Well, you have burger
smash burger tacos.
Smash burger. You put burgers and tacos together. Those are two separate entities.
Well, I'm in it. I mean, if you're going to do that, if that's basically the science behind this thing, I'm ready to eat.
Let me tell you what we're doing here. This is one of those things that kind of got a buzz a few months back on social media. People were taking burgers and making tacos out of them. And it's not like you're just going to take the burger and break it up and then use the ground beef and season. Like, No. We're going to take one of those 6-inch soft taco tortillas. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yes.
Yeah, like a taco tortilla, right?
Okay. I've seen it before.
We're going to grab some 80-20 ground beef, 80% lean, 20% fat. That's what those numbers mean.
But what's healthier, that one or the one that's like 92% or whatever that is? Because I always buy that one and it's more expensive. And if I can stop doing that, that's good to know.
To me, I'd say don't. You always want, it's not worth it. It's so insignificant, you know?
Okay.
That amount of fat adds so much flavor. That's why I think it's important.
Okay.
So what I want you to do is now you're going to grab a handful of this beef. You can wear a glove or you don't have to. It's fine. It's not going to hurt you. Just make sure you wash your hands. And you're going to smush it and kind of press it out like Play-Doh all over a tortilla, one side of the tortilla. Are you with me so far?
Okay. I'm there.
With the raw meat. All okay. Right.
Then we're going to season up a little bit of salt. You want to make a burger seasoning? That's fine. What I do is I use a little garlic powder, salt, and finish it with black pepper, right? And then we're going to sprinkle it on top of that little smashed burger. And then we're going to take a nice hot pan, cast iron pan, whatever you got. Get it nice and hot, screaming hot, to where you see like little wisps of smoke coming off of it. Take your tortilla with the burger on it and put that on that pan, burger side down. So that tortilla side's facing straight up in the air, okay? And let that cook. What happens is it sears the bottom of that burger, but because it's covered with that tortilla, the rest of it steams. It cooks so fast. Like we're talking a minute and a half. It's going to cook that entire thing. Then we're going to flip it, and you're going to take that tortilla side now and put it in the pan and the burger side up. So what happens is, come on, you guys know what happens at tortilla, right? Anna, come on, tell me.
It gets crispy.
There we go.
Yeah.
Now you do listen to me.
Yeah.
Now you do listen to me. It gets nice and crispy. So take it out. Let's take your spatula, take it out of the pan, and put it on a little piece of paper towel so you can get the extra fat off of it. You can make a burger sauce. You can put a little Thousand Island dressing. You can put whatever you want. You want to make a burger sauce, ketchup, a little mayo, a little dill pickle relish, onion powder, hot sauce. Mix it together. It's a beautiful burger sauce. Then you put on whatever you want and you eat it like a taco. It is literally the most fun, easy way to make a burger/taco night at your house. It's so easy and so good. You can bang out like 10 of them. Like, it's no problem.
It's so delicious sounding.
Plum, I mean, I just love your taco experimentation that goes on in your house. This is a regular thing for you guys. It's just every time, will it taco?
Will it taco or will it burger? You can do either one of those. It's a fun game.
Eyes are open.
Chef Plum, you can find him online at chefplum.com. Full disclosure, if you choke, my CPR certification has expired.
Oh, great. Julie just told me she's got like one. She's got like a package for it somehow, but she doesn't know what it does. She doesn't even know what's in the package.
Right.
She picked it up.
All right, so
like a face shield or something? I don't know.
We are on a quest to break a Guinness World Record, and each of us on the show pitched an idea, and it was up to you to decide. Ultimately, producer Julie, putting on 30 socks in 30 seconds, won. How it beat everybody else, I have no idea, but it did.
Garnered the vote, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But Raven was super upset because he believed in his heart of hearts that he could beat this Guinness World Record. And what is that record, Raven?
It is 8 Reese's Peanut Butter Cups in 60 seconds. And I got to tell you, I was going in full-blown confidence. But right now, with the pressure closing in on me, I'm feeling a little bit vulnerable over here, Anna.
Right. So the most number of Reese's Peanut Butter Cups eaten consecutively in one sitting, not timed, is 75. But the guy that owns this record, which is the Guinness World Record that says it's 8, his name in 1 minute, 8 peanut butter cups in 1 minute, his name is L.A. Beast, and he has a lot of records. Here's what he sounds like.
L.A. Beast here. 60 Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, 6,000 calories, 585 grams of sugar. Oh my God, I'm about to have heart failure and get type 2 diabetes. A lot of the fans always ask, hey, L.A. Beast, how are you not dead yet? I don't know.
Not quite sure.
Did you tell your wife that you were doing this? Did you tell Alicia?
Absolutely not.
Oh my gosh.
I think you know the answer to that.
She's going
to
be so annoyed that I didn't tell her.
I've been eating salad every day. She told me the other day I'm not allowed chips. This is like 2 days worth of calories in one shot. But you know something? Listen, if I get close,
yeah.
Seriously, if I get close, we're going to have to take a hard look at this.
Did you look at what the rules were for this? Anything like that?
Everything I looked up is just that I saw that he had them unwrapped. He had them ready to go. I didn't see any restrictions as far as liquids go, as to like it has to be something specific or none at all. I'm hoping not to choke to death. So I just have water here this time, although I'd prefer milk, but it seems like it would slow me down.
Do you have a plan of action?
If I start to die?
No, like how you're going
to
do it.
I mean, if I choke to death, well, I have two stacks of three and I have a stack of two on top. I'm going to go two right out the gate in the mouth. Oof.
All right, you ready?
Intern Natalie says that I should smash four and put them in at one time so I can concentrate on chewing. But
no, it's going to take a 60 seconds to
I have
chew
to move my mic so I can
You're all making
go.
Me more nervous.
Okay, hold on. I got to reposition myself.
Everybody's getting up and getting closer and coming right. above me.
Okay.
And I'm getting afraid. All right, you ready?
60 seconds
gonna,
on the clock.
I'm gonna
I have it
time
right here.
Over here, but I'm just going to turn after that.
All right.
It's going to take me like 4 seconds to turn. Are we ready?
It's not. I have a timer. Ready? On your mark, get set, go.
Okay.
Go. All right, here we go. Raven is going for two in his mouth right away. He's got two in his mouth.
Oh, no.
Oh, he's already choking. Now he's laughing. His face is turning red. Are you choking for real? I told you my CPR is fired. Drink some water.
He's not choking. All
right. Jump ship. Abandon ship. Jump ship.
Well, now he's spitting the water back out. It's coming out of his nose.
Raven, come on. You only have 30 more seconds. Finish the game. Come on. You're being a disappointment, Raven. Gosh, you can't even. Okay, three going in after you almost choked on two. Come on. Go. You have 22 seconds. Go, you can do it. Go, put him in your mouth. Oh, my God. He can't close his mouth. What's going to happen? Why are you staring at your hands? It doesn't even make sense. Okay. All right. What are you going to do now? What, we can spit it out? Oh, Is there anything you want to say, Raven?
Is there anything you can say,
Raven? Can you speak? Are you okay?
That guy, L.A. Beast, he's some kind of athlete.
One couple.
I don't want to keep dealing with my sister and all of the drama it's causing.
Isn't that the stupidest thing you ever heard?
One problem.
To name the baby Clifford and demand that we change our dog's name.
You decide the outcome.
Yeah, thank you. I love the audience for that.
Will be a fun story, hopefully, to us in a few years.
It's Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us, they let us know what their disagreement is about, and then it's up for you to decide who's right. This program is sponsored by BetterHelp. BetterHelp makes it easy to match with a licensed therapist. Get 10% off your first month of online therapy at BETTERHELP.com/Anna and Raven. John and Lillian. Lillian, what's going on?
Hi. I have had a best friend since I was like really little. We grew up together and we spend a lot of time together, but as we're adults, we kind of don't have too much time for each other anymore, so we try to make like a dinner plan at least like a couple times a month or something like that. And she, now that we're both married, loves going on double dates, so we usually just go out to dinner or we'll go to a movie or something like that, her husband and me and mine. And my husband does not like her, so it's become a thing, giving me a hard time and trying to say like that I need to just go hang out with her myself, which kind of makes me sad because I want all of my world to be together.
John, is it the husband you don't like, or is it her, or is it both?
She's fantastic, and I love the way my wife and her are together. It's great. I'm all about their friendship, but this guy wants to talk to me about crypto 24/7 when we're together, and I just don't want to talk about that.
Anna and I have spoken to several experts about this over the time, and I still don't understand any of it, Anna. My wife started talking to me about it the other day, and I was like, yeah. Stop.
It's funny because with Trump's new crypto that he just released, I was like, we should have another expert since I didn't understand the first time. Maybe this time I'll understand.
It'll be like the fourth time.
Yeah, but that has nothing to do with anything. What's the big deal? If they want to go on double dates and spend some time together, can't you just suck it up for a night? Every couple times a month?
Twice a month.
I have, and I will again, I would assume, but I'm just saying, it's not fun for me. I don't want to go and have a financial advisor conversation for 2 hours where I'm being sold on these obscure coins. It's not fun for me. And
John, I get it. It's not fun for anyone. Like, I know he's dweeby and boring, and he, I'm admitting to you, he sucks. But, like, it's twice a month, you know? I feel like it's for her because she has to put up with him all the time.
So what?
But her problem becomes your problem? No. Twice a month, too, Anna. When you're an adult, it's more than we're stating it as. Twice a month. Oh, it's only twice a month. Oh, it's 6 hours of my life I'm never going to get back.
John, what is it that you want Lillian to do? What do you want her to tell her friend?
Look, you know, you can say that it's just twice a month, but that sometimes when you're in a married couple, that's all you do with socializing, twice a month.
Right.
So we're going to spend every second of our available social time hanging out with this one couple. I think you guys would just have a better time having, like, a girls' night. Go do whatever you want. I'll stay home with the kids. He can stay home with whatever thoughts about crypto he has, and we can all just be happy.
So what do you think? Should John have to go out a couple times a month to make Lillian happy and hang out with this couple? Or can he back out and Lillian has to do girls' night, which she knows is going to upset her friend because her friend enjoys these nights out? Would you go out two nights a month with a couple that you couldn't stand just because it makes your wife happy? That's kind of what's going on with John and Lillian. Lillian's best friend since she was young. It's a double date they go on twice a month, but John can't stand
the husband.
Yeah. Says he's constantly talking about crypto, and it's all a problem.
Yeah, listen, you know what? Sharing space and time with people that you don't really get along with or have common interests with is totally easy. It's not a problem, typically, if you're doing it, you know, once every great while. When you're doing it two weekends out of the month, every single month, like, that's a lot.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's, you know, your free time. You're like, oh, I finally got the weekend off. And then your wife's like, yeah, we're going to dinner with them. And you're like, ugh!
Right. But sometimes you suck it up for your wife because it makes her happy and it's important to her friendship. What do you think? That these people have no one else to hang out with.
Probably, I mean, the other people don't, but
right.
John and Lillian could make friends.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Michelle?
I'm on the guy's side. I just feel like he, you know, if he's not going to have fun, why drag him out and talk about something he doesn't want to talk about? I get that she wants him there, but I feel like wouldn't she have a better time just with her girlfriend alone anyway? Just talk girl stuff and hang out, you know? My husband's the same way. He's like, just go out with the girls. Why do you need a double date?
There's some guys that like John that don't like to tolerate these things.
Yeah.
My husband.
Suffer a fool.
I drag him everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
I drag him. He'll talk to anybody.
He's got the right disposition for it, though. Other people do not, right? And at some point, you reach your fill, and I think that that's basically where John is at.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. If two nights a month you had to go out to dinner with a couple you could not stand, would you make a big deal out of it if it made your wife happy? That's what's going on with John and Lillian. John can't stand the fact that Lillian's best friend's husband just talks about cryptocurrency, and he hates the fact that twice a month they have to go to this dinner.
Yeah, I mean, he loves the fact that she's got a great friend and they get along great. He even enjoys her. But at the same time, at some point, being polite just gets old, Anna.
But Lillian thinks that they'll be offended because they don't really have any other friends. So being able to hang out with them twice a month is their big social nights out. Should John just keep going to make everybody happy? Gina, whose side are you on?
I am on his side, although I do think that they could compromise, and maybe if this is going to be a twice-a-month thing, one time it's just a girls' night, and then the other time it's the double date, so that at least it's not as often.
I mean, cut it in half, right? Like, I think that you go into any negotiation knowing that you're not going to get everything that you want, so John would probably be agreeable to that.
Yeah, that's right? What I think. I think that's fair.
Mike, what do you think?
Oh, I'm definitely on the husband's side. I mean, you only get so much free time as an adult, and to have to be subjected to 6 hours a month of what you hate is ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's a low ball number, too. I'm thinking, like, that's one night, right? So it's more like 12 hours, 10 or 12.
I mean, a 3-hour dinner. But am I the only one that whenever I go out to dinner with people that I'm not really looking forward to, I just pick a restaurant I really want to eat at so I get excited about the food and the drinks? And to me, that's enough to make up for the fact.
But then you're going out before or after, too, and, like, you got to listen to that the whole
Maybe
time.
Maybe you do, not me. When I have dinner plans, we're going to dinner, and then we're going home. That's it.
Even if it's 1 hour, it's too much.
It's too much if you can't stand them. Right.
Thanks, Mike. Karen, whose side are you on?
I'm kind of on his side, but, like, I think a good compromise would be, like, they said they do this twice a month. Like, maybe, you know, if they do it Saturday night, so say twice a month. What about, like he was saying, like, what about a Friday night or something if you want to have Saturday night still as, quote, date night?
Yeah. Pick a night that nobody wants to go out anyway. So that it's like a Wednesday night. No one is staying out late. So we're going to meet for a late lunch on Wednesdays at 5 o'clock. Early dinner.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
John, our audience agreed with you today. If you're really unhappy with doing this and doing it twice a month, then Lillian, just explain, maybe babysitter. You have to tell the truth. Babysitters have gotten expensive, so John's going to stay home with the kids. Why don't we make this a girls' night? Obviously, he wants you to still be with your best friend. He just doesn't want to have to get dragged along.
Thank you. I really, really appreciate that because I am not a bad sport. I've gone a bunch of times, and I've made the best of it. I'm just saying I should be able to choose. That's all.
Yeah, just you have to make a promise that you're not going to post on those times when you're supposedly home with the kids and you're actually out having the time of your life. And Lillian, you'll just have to, you know, cover for it and, you know, deal, right? I mean, at least you and your girlfriend are still hanging out.
I guess so. I mean, I love her a lot. I know she's going to be sad, though. I feel like she knows her husband sucks, and she doesn't want to believe it.
Well, that's her fault for marrying him.
Aw. All right, if you have a problem, too.
Those crypto people are kind of like conspiracists, okay. I think. I mean, or else some of them are getting rich. I don't know.
All right, he has a hobby. He has a hobby that he's excited to talk about. I don't know why everybody's so mean. All right, if you have a problem, too, send an email. couplescore@annonraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
The Can't Beat Raven cash jackpot is $5,800 thanks to Sherwin-Williams. Shop the Sherwin-Williams winter sale and get 30% off paints and stains now through the 27th. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Ashley, you ready to play?
Yes, I am.
Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, can you please leave the room?
You got it. Good luck, Ashley.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, here's how it's going to work, Ashley. Raven's walking out of here. When that door closes, he can't hear us. We're in a soundproof studio. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. Guess. If you don't know, guess. I'll bring them back in, ask them the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. You ready to play?
Yes, I am. Let's go.
Let's go. Number one, Justin Bieber unfollowed his wife, Hailey Bieber, on Instagram. And when it was realized, he posted that he doesn't know who did it from his account. There are currently vacationing in what ski town where X Games are currently being held?
Los Angeles, California.
Number two, Ryan Gosling is in talks to star in a Star Wars movie directed by Sean Levy. What is the parent company that owns the Star Wars franchise?
I know this one. I have no idea.
Time number three. Today's show host Jenna Bush Hagar noted that her father went viral for his quirky facial expressions during President Trump's inauguration on Monday. What is the name of Jenna's twin sister?
Linda.
Number four, Fox announced that The Simpsons will take a short break in February and March, not appearing in its regular time slot for the first time in over 30 years. What is the name of The Simpsons' pet cat?
Oh, my God, I can picture it, but I can't think of the name.
That's time. Number five, Billy Crystal and Meg Ryan are reunited for something iconic, but there's no word yet on what it is. This year marks the 36th anniversary of what famous movie that they starred in together?
Transformers.
All right. Let me bring Raven.
Yo.
All right. Good news and bad news.
Huh.
The bad news is Ashley's not winning $5,800.
Oh, sad news, Ashley.
The good news is, Ashley, you are next zero to hero.
Oh, wow. Not one,
not
Ashley.
One. Not so one. Okay. When we get 5 people that get zero right, you'll have your chance at redemption to come back on the show. And I think you're number 3 or 4. So we'll let you know when that happens.
They must be really tough today. Let's see how they are.
Number one, Justin Bieber unfollowed his wife, Hailey Bieber, on Instagram. And when he realized it, he posted that he doesn't know who did it from his account. They're currently vacationing in what ski town where X Games are being held?
X Games are in Aspen.
Aspen is correct. Number two, Ryan Gosling is in talks to star in a Star Wars movie directed by Sean Levy. What is the parent company that owns the Star Wars franchise?
Disney.
Yes. Number three, Today Show host Jenna Bush Hagar noted that her father, George Bush, went viral for his quirky facial expressions during President Trump's inauguration on Monday. What is the name of Jenna's twin sister?
She's named after her grandmother, Barbara.
Yep. Number four, Fox announced that The Simpsons will take a short break in February and March, not appearing in its regular time slot for the first time in over 30 years.
Okay.
What is the name of the Simpsons cat?
Oh, Snowball.
Snowball is right. There's been five of them. They all get named Snowball.
Right.
Number five, Billy Crystal and Meg Ryan are reunited for something iconic coming up, but there's no word on what it is yet. This year marks the 36th anniversary of what famous movie that they starred in together?
When Harry Met Sally.
Ashley, he beat you 5-0 today. That'll get you an Anna Raven t-shirt.
I'll have what she's having.
Thank you so much. It's Ashley and I can't beat Raven.
$5,900 tomorrow, Anna. Let's go.
I want to thank Carl because he supplied two of the questions I used today. If you have an idea for a question two, head to annaandraven.com.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Confused on where to start with weight loss medication? See the lowest prices available with or without insurance for Wegovy, Zepbound, and more at TryLifeMD.com. 95% of LifeMD patients said starting their weight loss journey was simple. Listen to Tara's story after losing 42 pounds.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. I had gone from 237 to 195. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
Get your free insurance benefits check in minutes right now at TryLifeMD.com. Nearly 96% of patients said they would recommend the LifeMD program to anyone who wants to lose weight. Get started right now at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.